Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that our days are in your hands, our families in your hands, our ministries in your hands. We thank you this morning. We thank you for your holy words. As I share from your holy words, I pray this morning your holy words will encourage my heart, encourage all our hearts. Please give us thankful hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning I got two verses from the Bible to share. One is from the Old Testament and one is from the New Testament. The New Testament is very familiar one, and the Old Testament is not that much familiar. That is from Isaiah chapter 58. First I will go through the 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. Peter says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." Now this morning we are going to see why God has chosen us. What is God's plan and purpose in our lives? How God's chosen people have to live a holy life. When Peter was writing this letter, there were highly educated intellectuals, Greeks in that time. And also there were false teaching going on. Do not listen to Peter. Do not listen to John. Do not listen to Paul. We got the new teaching. There were temples, temple prostitutes, idol worship, witchcraft. People were doing sacrifices. So the believers were confused. That is the time Peter took time and said, "You are a chosen people. God has chosen you. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." My dear friends, there is no big difference when Peter was writing this letter and what is happening today. There is no big difference. So such a time like this, the good news for all of us is God has chosen us. If there are 150 people, the good news is all of us, God has chosen us. We have not come to this place accidentally. God never does any accidents. God has purpose in everything. So we have to be rejoicing this morning. God, thank you, you have graciously chosen me. When I go to heaven, I will ask Jesus Christ, "Jesus, there are 27 million people in Sri Lanka. In that country, why did you choose this short man?" So what I'm trying to say is, God has chosen us. Especially such a time like this, God has chosen us. Now, why God has chosen us? I don't think God has chosen us because we are very good people. I don't think God has chosen us because we are holy people. I don't think God has chosen us because we are very smart people. We are very educated people. We are very humble people. No, not at all. God showed his grace and mercy on us, and he has chosen us. John chapter 15 verse 16. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Now, we are going to look at how God's chosen people have to live. Now, if you look at John's gospel and all the gospels, Peter's letters, Paul's writings, in everything, they summarize it in very simple way. How God chosen people have to live. Very simple way, they say. Live like Jesus lived. Simple. Live like Jesus lived. Paul put it little differently. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1. Imitate Christ. How did Jesus live? Jesus was always led by the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4 verse 1. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan, full of the Holy Spirit, and he was led around by the Holy Spirit in the wilderness. Even in the wilderness, a lonely place, he was full of the Holy Spirit. Now how about the disciples? Acts chapter 2 verse 4. "And they," that is the disciples, "and they were filled with the Holy Spirit." That is Acts chapter 2 verse 4. The Old Testament and the New Testament talks about the Holy Spirit. Now the way I understand about the Holy Spirit is that we all God's chosen people, we had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. The disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. But this does not mean we all have to speak in tongues. There are about 4 Greek words come there. Different meaning in that. So, but all God's chosen people had to be filled with the Spirit, Holy Spirit. We may be a Methodist, you may be an Anglican church member of the Churches of Christ, Baptist Church, Pentecostal Church, whatever the denomination may be, we all should be filled with the Holy Spirit, but not necessarily speaking in tongues. Month of July, I was in Malaysia. I had a wonderful ministry, teaching and training the pastors how to do ministry among the Muslims. After one Sunday after the service, the Malaysian pastor told me a very interesting story. There's a Hindu temple in Malaysia. Then about half a kilometer away, there is a Christian church. One Hindu woman, she had this evil spirit. She went to the temple and the priest did all kinds of Hindu prayers, Hindu sacrifices, Hindu worshipping many gods, but nothing happened. So what this priest did, she said to that woman, why can't you go to that Sunday Hallelujah group, that Christian group? He was laughing and mocking. Why can't you go to that Sunday Hallelujah group? So this woman went. Praise God, God healed that woman. Now, this is the main part of the story. After 3 or 4 years, this Hindu woman who became a Christian, she came to know the priest is not well. So she went to the temple and she told, priest, why can't you come to that Sunday Hallelujah group? The priest went, God healed. And I saw that man in that church. Now why did I tell that story? There's a reason for that. Now that priest was laughing, Sunday Hallelujah group. The message is this. Christians are not just Sunday Hallelujah Christians. God's chosen people are not just Sunday Hallelujah Christians. Every day we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We have to say Hallelujah and praise God every day in our life. You may know the story, Acts chapter 16 verse 25. Acts 16, 25, when Paul and Silas were thrown into the jail. What they were doing? They were singing praises to God. About midnight, Acts 16, 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And other prisoners were listening. Yes, we God's chosen people. That's what we did at our funeral, my brother's funeral. We were raising hands and praising God. Because Paul says, praise God in all circumstances. That is Christian life. Psalm 117 verse 1. Praise the Lord, all the nations. What is all the nations? That means Indians, praise the Lord. Africans, praise the Lord. Americans, praise the Lord. Australians, praise the Lord. Psalm 34 verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I like that verse. His praise will always, all the 24 hours, I will be praising God. A pastor was looking for the word Hallelujah. So the pastor asked, what word do church members shout with joy? A pastor was looking for the word Hallelujah. So the pastor asked, what word do church members shout with joy? Someone loudly said, bingo. It is not bingo. It is Hallelujah, you see. And now we can see this sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit in 3 places. First, in our church life, church fellowship, home groups, in our families. Here Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 says, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do. I encourage you all this morning, please come to church on Sunday mornings with thankful hearts. Please come to the home groups. Please come to all the other church activities. There we find sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. What happens when God's chosen people are led by the Holy Spirit? Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And very sadly, all these fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, all these are disappearing from our churches, from our families, and from our Christian communities. Let us be filled with the Holy Spirit and bear all these good fruits in our lives. I'm going to talk about cobras. Have you heard about the deadly snake in India? Very poisonous. We got the white one and the black ones. Black ones are extremely poisonous. 99.9 people will die if bitten by a black cobra. Now, in our hostel, that area was full of cobras. So we had long sticks. And we had told the boys and girls, when you see a cobra, take the stick, hit on the head. Not on the tail, not on the stomach, hit on the head. We have a saying in India, Oluva giyo okkam gihilla. Did you understand what I said? Oluva giyo, I am not speaking in tongues this morning. Oluva giyo okkam gihilla means, if the head is gone, everything is gone. The snake will die. Likewise, if the Holy Spirit is gone, that means everything is gone. If the Holy Spirit is gone from Stanley Abraham's life, that means everything is gone from Stanley Abraham's life. Stanley has lost everything. If the Holy Spirit is gone from your life, that means everything is gone from your life. You have lost everything. If the Holy Spirit is gone from your family, that means everything is gone from your family. You have lost everything. If the Holy Spirit is gone from our churches, that means everything is gone from our churches. That was the reason when King David fell into sin, he prayed like this in Psalm 51 verse 11. He said, God, do not cast me away from your presence. And do not take away the Holy Spirit from me. God, you can do anything and everything with me. But God, please do not take away the Holy Spirit from me. When you have time, please read the book of Revelation chapter 2. The Spirit of God gave warning to seven churches. One of the churches got this warning. Revelation chapter 2 verse 5. I will come and remove the lampstand from you. Now, what is this lampstand? Lampstand means God's presence or the Holy Spirit. I pray God will never ever remove the lampstand, the Holy Spirit, from me, from you, from our families and from our churches. So first Peter was reminding, you are a chosen people. Now he says you are a royal priesthood. Now what is this royal priesthood? I can give a long list. The Sri Lankan time is now 8 o'clock. So I can go up to 2 o'clock. No. Short man, short message. Right? Right. Now what is this priestly ministry? Pastoring a church? Yes, priestly ministry. Teaching the word of God, priestly ministry. Leading worship, priestly ministry. Visiting hospitals and meeting unknown people, priestly ministry. Feeding unknown people, priestly ministry. looking after one another in the family, priestly ministry. And we can do this priestly ministry anywhere and everywhere. And to do this priestly ministry, God has graciously given us different gifts and different talents. If there are, say, 150 people here, to all of us, God has given us different gifts and different talents. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8. We have different gifts. This is from Romans chapter 12, verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is to prophesying, then prophesy. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. Please pray that I will be faithful in this ministry. Preaching and teaching, that is the calling God has given to me. By God's grace, I have been doing this 42 years. I like to do another 8 years. So 42 plus 8, 50. When I go to heaven, I can say, God, I hit half century. Sri Lankan cricketers are not playing well nowadays. But don't pray for them, but pray for me. That I will hit 50 in God's ministry. Right. So to do this ministry, God has given us different gifts. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. I like to say something on this line. If it is giving, then give generously. It does not mean only giving our tithes and offering. It does not mean only giving our tithes and offering. The actual meaning is, the Greek word is giving ourselves to God. Giving everything to God. It includes tithes, offerings, time, gifts, talents, intelligence, the mental faculty, everything. Because everything comes from God and everything belongs to God. That's what 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 16 says. Then Peter says one important thing. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10 and 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. God has graciously given us different gifts and different talents. Are we using God-given gifts and talents to spread the gospel? Are we using God-given gifts and talents to share the gospel? Can God trust me this morning? Can God trust you this morning? Can God trust all of us this morning? Such a time like this, when ungodly things are happening around us, ungodly teachings are happening in the schools. What are we doing with the gifts and talents God has given to us? Are we hiding these gifts? Are we keeping these gifts to ourselves? Or are we giving some kind of excuses? God, you did not give me that. God, you did not give me that. Are we giving excuses? I believe on the judgment day, when we stand before God, we cannot say, God, you did not give me any gifts. And I pray that faithfully, in a humble way, we will use whatever the gifts God has given to each and every one of us. You know, I read some interesting stories these days. I'm going to tell. Excuses. These days, these primary school children, they are very smart in telling excuses. I'll tell you some stories. One boy went to school very late. Not late, little bit late. The teacher asked, why are you late? And the boy said, teacher, while coming to the school, I saw a big sign. Then the teacher asked, what that sign has to do with you? Why are you late? And the boy said, teacher, the sign said, go slow, school ahead. Go slow, school ahead. How smart he is. Excuses. Another boy, he was catching fish. There's a big sign. Do not catch fish in this river. A man was passing that way. He stopped and asked, can't you read that sign? It says, do not catch fish in this river. And the boy said, sir, I'm not catching fish. am teaching this worm how to swim. How smart. When I go to India and Sri Lanka and other countries, they say, oh, you're coming from Australia. Australians are very happy people. All the time they say, no worries, no worries. So do they really, are they happy? And I tell them, please pray for them. No, I have been living in this country for 28 years. And I have seen three major challenges in this country. Very sadly, the families are separating. Broken families. Drugs, alcohol, violence on the increase. And the third one, sadly, people are going away from God. Of course, these are happening around the world. Around the world, these are happening. About 18 months ago, I was in Los Angeles, staying with an American pastor and having some seminars and preaching. Then one evening, pastor and his family and another 10 people, we all went for a meal, evening dinner. We went to an international food hall. One side, all the meals, international food. The other side, you call it liquor bar. People are having wine and enjoying their time. And the pastor asked me, Stanley, what you would like to have? I said, Indian rice and curry. Then he said, oh, we too like it. So all the 20 people, we had the Indian rice and curry. Then I just saw a big sign near the liquor shop. I went and read, I had a pen and paper. Immediately I wrote it down. This is what it said. About the liquor shop. In wine there is wisdom. In alcohol there is happiness. In water there is bacteria. So don't drink water when you go to America. But Paul says to all the Ephesians and all the Christians, Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Such a time like this, when families are separating, drugs, alcohol and violence on the increase, people are going away from God. Let us, God's chosen people, let us be filled with the Holy Spirit wherever God takes us. I pray that we will do that. Now I am coming to Isaiah chapter 58 verse 12. Isaiah 58 verse 12. Your people, that is God's chosen people, will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of the streets with dwelling. You can find three important words. Rebuilder, repairer, restorer. My dear friends, time like this, this is the responsibility God has given to us. Rebuild, repair, and restore. If you go through the book of Nehemiah, you will find God gave him the ministry of rebuilding the broken walls and the gates of Jerusalem. Rebuilding the families, broken families, is not an easy job. Repairing the broken relationship, it's not an easy job. Bringing restoration and new life to the families and to the churches, to the community, is not an easy job. So when Nehemiah found rebuilding the task was so difficult, there were a lot of enemies, he prayed like this, God, now give me strength to my hands. What a wonderful prayer we all can pray. Because it is not easy to do ministry in Perth. Not easy to do ministry in India. Not easy to do ministry in Sri Lanka. God has given, of course there's a tough task, but what did God say? God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient at all times. I pray, I know you all are involved in ministry. And I pray we will rebuild. Jesus, with Jesus Christ, we will rebuild our family. It is Jesus who will bring restoration, new life into the life of the people. There is an urgent need in Australia and around the world. It is not financial need. It is not more big houses to live. It is not a political need. It is a spiritual need. When the Israelites were going away from God, King David, he prayed, God, will you not revive us again. Psalm 85:6. God, will you not revive us again? Man cannot bring revival. But when God's people pray, then God will bring revival. That's what the church history says. And the Bible says. So please take time and pray. Please let us become rebuilders, repairers, restorers in our own family, in our church and community. Now the third one, Peter says, you are a holy nation. Be holy because I am holy. 1 Peter 1:15. Hebrews 12:14. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. If you ask a Hindu man how many gods you have, he will say, we worship 3 million gods. I do not know what kind of computer they used to count all these gods. I don't know. But we stand among the Hindus and say, we have only one God. He is a living God. He is a holy God. That's the message. That's what here Peter here. Be holy because I am holy. How, Psalm 119:8. How can a young man, how can a young family stay in the path of holiness by living according to your word? Is it possible for young people, young families to lead a godly life? Is it possible for Christians to lead a holy life? The answer is yes. I am 67 years old. When I was 17 years old, I heard a story. I was in a meeting. I was very confused that time. I had some good friends. I had some bad friends. I was studying to become a lawyer, at the same time trying to become a politician, very confused. That time I went to a service, evening service, in Sri Lanka, YMCA. The preacher said a story I'm going to tell you very briefly. I know the time is going fast. Right. You know the fish that live in the salty water. When we buy it, when we are ready to cook it, we cut it, clean it, put all the garam masalas and all and all. I know Australians don't put garam masala. Then finally we put some salt into it to make it more tasty. The message is that fish live all the 24 hours in the salty water. It does not take its saltiness into its flesh. Likewise, we live in the world all the 24 hours. We do not take the worldliness into our families, into our life, into our churches. That's what Jesus said. You live in the world, but you are not of the world. I pray that this story will help us. Now in closing, holiness, about holiness, Dr. Billy Graham says, we have lost the sight of holiness and purity of God. This is from Dr. Billy Graham, one of his books. We have lost the sight of holiness and purity of God. This is one reason why we tolerate sin so easily. Only when we understand the holiness of God, only when we understand the holiness of God, we will understand the depth of our sin. And I pray God will put more holiness into my life, into all our life. The last one, you are a people belonging to God. My dear friends, this morning you might have come to this worship service with worries, anxieties, financial difficulties. Doctor might have given some bad health reports, health issues. The future looked dark and gloomy. Whatever the situation may be, there's a good news. The good news is we are a people belonging to a living God. That is the difference. We are a people belonging to a living God. Peter says, cast all your worries upon him. Because God, a living God, cares for you. That's the answer. In closing, a father with his little son climbing, he was climbing a little hill. Not a big one, little hill. They took some rest. Now they were coming down. So the father said to his son, son, you please hold my hand, otherwise you will fall down. Son, you please hold my hand, otherwise you will fall down. Now this is what the son said. Dad, you please hold my hand because your hands are bigger than mine. Yes, we have a big God whose hands are bigger than ours. Very specially bigger than Stanley Abraham's. No doubt about it. Yes, we have a living God. In closing, Isaiah 58, verse 12. You are a builder. You are a repairer. You are a restorer. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your holy words. Thank you for your goodness and faithfulness in our lives, in our families, and in our ministries. And God, I pray this morning, you will help me to know that you have appointed me, that you have called all of us to be a builder, repairer, and restorer. Please give us your grace and strength to continue this good ministry. Please give us thankful hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.